Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Early in September, Ontario Liberal Party leader Bonnie Crombie lost a critical leadership review with 57% support. She resigned and launched a leadership review. It is the third Liberal leadership race since 2020. Dorothy Naroa, the former Liberal candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South, was there. She ran for the party in the last election. In this interview, she will share her experiences from the convention floor as events unfolded. Naroa discusses her critique of the party, but also her thoughts and insights going forward as the third-place Liberals try to restore their stature with voters across the province and within the local riding. Have a listen and measure her analysis against your own.
I'm so pleased to have with me today the most recent provincial Liberal candidate, Dorothy Naroa. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Robert. I'm really pleased to be here.
Going into the meeting, what was the expectation of members like yourself?
So I sort of went in with two hats. I was actually on the slate as a candidate for RVP for our region here. I'd been asked a few weeks ago. We need some people with a depth of experience. Would you mind putting your name forward? I'm like, sure, I'm retired. Why don't we do that? So I had sort of dual expectations going on. I had that sort of in the back of my head, but then we also had the leadership, and then it was also an AGM. I mean, it was chock full of also breakout sessions and workshops and things like that that were going on. I was really looking forward actually to being face to face with a lot of really talented folks from across Ontario. To have actually a conversation. It was a great weekend for sure for that.
And RVP, people might not know that acronym. What does that mean?
Sure. So regional vice president. So okay. from a political perspective, our province is divided up into ridings. I can say 124 of those. And then to make them a little more cohesive, they're divided up into regions. So our riding of Northumberland Peterborough South is part of the Central East region, which runs basically from Pickering to Napanee, from the lake almost to Algonquin Park. And so the theory being that ridings within those regions will have some commonalities, and then that regional vice president will support the presidents of all of those ridings to help them become successful with whatever it is they do. So it was a collaborative, a support role. The fact I'd run as a candidate, I'd been a campaign manager, I've been in education, I've been in healthcare, I've been in business is my original. They were really excited and hoping that I would I'd put my name in and I did. Didn't get it, which I consider not that bad a problem as I was starting to envision looking after that mass of a region and the work involved with that, especially in light of the results. We call it bullet dodged in our household in terms of, yeah, I put my name forward, but I'm pretty okay with now being able just to focus on home, my no place like home.
Was there anything said or discussed about the last election, either in workshops or in the halls?
It had been spoken about so much. We are, as a party, we are the mea culpa party. I always think it's in terms of there's always a lot of looking at what could have been done better. So with those meetings, with and countless of others that happen on a on an informal basis, I know in our own riding, we had a, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, what are we going to be doing differently? And I think we're good. I think there's absolutely been more than enough analysis. Now it's time to start putting those into action. And like I said, they already have. The fact we have party status now makes us both financially and resourcefully equipped to actually take action.
The party has not done well in several elections. And in the last election, the party came third. There are many commentators who said there is frustration in the ranks. What do you think?
So I would disagree in the sense that we were the only party that made gains in that last election. It was 30% of the vote. I know here in Northumberland, we had 5,000 more votes with a skeleton staff compared to 2022, where we were fully equipped. A lot of what happened in that election happened by design. It was designed to be abrupt. It was designed to catch people off guard. Check. Those things were done. Despite that, we did regain party status. We have 14 in caucus, 30% of the vote. More seats, unfortunately not. But again, valuable stuff has been gained, and the fact that we do have the resources now to actually do the job that much more effectively, I disagree. I think all things considered, we did remarkably well.
Let's talk about the leadership review. As delegates were voting, can you describe the mood and the tone?
So as I mentioned, people basically came into the Sheraton Center. They went directly to registration. They registered, and then they voted for the whether, and it was either yes or no. Yes, you would like a leadership contest. No, you would not. So it's sort of it was almost like the pressure was let off in terms of everyone has voted. It's just a question of seeing. So it's not like people are campaigning for the yes or the no, like they may have been to become whatever VP of operations, because there was a lot of that happening. So the big executive council roles, like president and vice president and operations, there were people actually campaigning for that with big signs and buttons and the whole bit. So there was a lot more on that front in terms of being lobbied than the leadership, because everyone knew we'd already voted. So it was just a question of, and we knew it wasn't going to be coming out until Sunday afternoon. So it was more just wondering what's going to happen. How many buttons am I saying that say no or yes? And are they actually no or yes? Or are those buttons just there to put out? Because at the end of the day, it's a secret ballot. So it was definitely, the leadership was hovering, but it wasn't necessarily front and center until the end.
That's really interesting, because was there anything that indicated that Bonnie Crombie was not going to receive sufficient support? I mean, there was this activity, but was there anything that you got a sense that said she's not going to make it?
So my feel was that she was going to make it, but not hugely. So there's talk that she was being told, and sort of the inner circle was talking about 70 to 75. Now, it's interesting that from the constitutional perspective, all she needed was 51 in terms of going on. However, numbers were sort of strategically put out there where someone was saying, well, if it's less than 2/3, then obviously you can't. And then someone else puts out 80%. So it was all of these sort of noise things that end up impacting people's expectations. Now, that being said, 57%, yes, it's above 51, but is it resounding? And will the noise stop? after that point, when it isn't decisive. Yeah, it was definitely, like I said, when you saw the people that were there, and not that you should assume a person is one side or the other, there was that faction of New Leaf Liberals that were there, and they were pretty they're pretty visible. They've put out who they are. They have their own buttons. I've actually had conversations with a couple of them coming into the campaign, and one of them actually said, Nate Erskine-Smith is doing us no favors right now. And just as a side, so Nate Erskine-Smith, being the MP for Beaches East York, ran in the provincial leadership against Bonnie, came in second, went back to federal. At that point said federally, no, I'm not going to run, and then was made Minister of Housing, and then said, great, no, I actually am staying. It was interesting when he was in that role, Minister of Housing, he actually came to Northumberland and during the campaign, and we had a breakfast at the old mill that he sponsored for me, which was, I was happy. I was confused. I wasn't sure why this was happening, but I'm like, sure, if you want to sponsor breakfast. And he gave a great talk about affordable housing. And it's a shame he didn't keep that portfolio, speaking as an Ontarian, because, you know, coming from Toronto, he's very familiar with the Toronto issues. The fact that it's gone now to someone in Vancouver is a shame, but I'm sure Mr. Carney has his reasons. But oftentimes the comment came up, gosh, I wonder if Nate Erskine-Smith was still Minister of Housing, would there be any New Leaf Liberals right now? Would there be any talk about, and a lot of people basically said probably not. However, it is what it is from that perspective, I guess. I've forgotten your original question. Just like a politician, right?
There was a very large number of delegates that showed up to this convention. What do you think drove those numbers so high?
Yeah, so they were anticipating, or they just under 2,500. About 400 did not come at all, for whatever reason. The leadership definitely drove those numbers. No doubt about it. I spoke with a young man that I'd met at a session about a year ago, and he came up to me, "Hi, how are you?" And I honestly couldn't remember, and then he reminded me where we'd met, and I looked at his badge, and he was from a Toronto riding, but he was actually aligned with ours, meaning he had Central East on his badge. And the way that happened was basically he was an alternate delegate, and he had been placed in our riding because his riding would have had too many delegates. So this is the process. So in August, I guess third week of August, there was the cutoff to apply to be a delegate at the AGM. Each riding only has a certain number, 15. And once you exceed that, then you end up what's called backfilling another area. So someplace like probably Nate Erskine-Smith, Beaches East York, I think they had 300 that applied to be delegates. So this is how a region like ours, where we did not reach our maximum, we had alternate delegates that filled those spots. So basically, yeah, it was definitely the leadership question that drove the numbers as high as they were. People really wanted to make their voices heard in terms of what they wanted to see happen.
Crombie vowed multiple times during her leadership to fight on when she was questioned or challenged. Even after the vote, when she received the 57% during this mandatory review, she indicated she would stay on. What was your initial reaction when the news broke that she was changing her mind?
So I would have been in the ballroom when they announced, and when I saw, so when the 57% came up, you know, a bunch of people at the front kind of, you know, jumped up and they're cheering, I guess, that it's above the 50, but most of us sat and just sort of, you could see everyone was processing it. What does this actually mean? And as I mentioned before, the narrative of 70 to 75% was the one that was sort of circulating apparently within the camp. So I can only imagine, as someone that was going up to make a speech saying, thinking that they were going to get 70-75%, but see a 57%, I would think that would be automatic pilot at that point, where I'm going to revert to what I was going to say, because I don't have time to process this right now. So I believe that, yep, I'm staying on, was what she was going to say. And then at that point, the conversation, and that conversation, gosh, we left probably about 2:30, 3. We drove back, and then the announcement was made by 5. So that major life decision was made in the span of a couple of hours. Conversations with family, conversations with caucus members, with council, to come up with, and for all of so. In the original leadership, I did not back Bonnie. I backed Ted Hsu. He had declared a lot much earlier, and he's Eastern Ontario, and I love him. So I was not on Team Bonnie. In fact, she called me in the spring and said, so I know you didn't back me. I'm hoping to have your support. So she's, and I've had several conversations with her. She's actually come to our region, several times. She came out to Lou Rinaldi's. We were up in Peterborough. Quinty, she's been a couple of times. This is someone who worked very, very hard since the election. I know there's, you know, again, the narrative out there, oh, we don't hear from her. We don't hear from her. Yeah. Well, no, we are hearing from her. Face to face, and I had a lot of respect for someone who was working as hard as she was to connect, and to fix those things that were identified in those meetings. So when she did come back and say, yeah, it definitely wasn't ego at that point. It was I get that for the good of the party, I need to step down. And despite the fact that, you know, a leadership review or a leadership convention is going to take anywhere from 8 months to a year, and gosh knows how many millions of dollars, I respect and I understand why she made that decision.
There are some that say there was a revolt underway and others who deny it. There was also a campaign debrief document that was released the week before the meeting that was very damning. Plus, there's been a lot of criticism after the election when the Tories won their third majority. How do you weigh all these factors going forward?
So one of the reasons I like the Liberal Party is one of the reasons I don't like the Liberal Party. We are very quick to be accountable and to take blame. I sometimes refer to it as the mea culpa party. And we have always have these sessions, and it's important to have those sessions. I feel like it's almost belabored to an effect, in the sense that we had the debrief, and then another. And that document, basically, it was a summary of all the things that had happened. So it wasn't anything new. It was just documenting all the things that we had said before. So I think everyone had internalized what needed to happen. And it has been in the process of happening in terms of some of the changes, in terms of connecting with grassroots. One of the big things was not listening to rural. And here we've got a rural and northern commission. Travel to all those areas extensively to make sure people are heard. The two policy things that came up that give more weight and more ability for the rural and northern to participate in things. Those things are all happening. The issue I find is the quest for immediate And when you're looking at sustainable change, it's incremental, and things were happening incrementally. However, there is a faction that said, you know, whether A, not fast enough or not good enough, and so let's blow it up and start from scratch. Hey, we have a democracy, and that's what that vote was. Full disclosure, I was a no. We were on a trajectory, and things were happening, and now we have another thing happening that will be take anywhere from 8 months to a year. It may be the best thing that ever happened in terms of the person that comes in, and I'm hopeful that's what it'll be. And that'll be great. I mean, thankfully we have 3.5 years until the next election, so it's not like it's a month away. But as someone that hopefully will be putting my name forward again, I would really appreciate the time to getting out and talking to people versus now having to focus on a new leadership. But we'll see.
But is another leadership race going to solve the larger problems facing the Liberals?
It depends. Leadership races can be galvanizing. They're exciting. They get your name out there in terms of as a party, you get press that you wouldn't necessarily before. And there's a lot of people that are potentially looking at this right now. So depending on who that is, that also brings its own excitement and cachet. And I'm just really hopeful, and I'm pretty sure when we look at the depth of the caucus that we have and the group that we have in executive council, that they will continue to make those necessary changes while the leadership race is going on.
Who do you think will run?
Not sure. When we look at the last time, we had two MPPs, Adil Shanji and Ted Hsu, both of their names were on. Now, Adil ended up withdrawing and putting his support behind Bonnie at that point. We also had two MPs. We had Nader Skinsmith and we had Yasser Naqvi that put their names in. Bonnie was actually the only person that did, well, she came from being mayor of Mississauga. So they all came from politics. There are some saying, yeah, you need someone from, you know, outside to mix things up a little bit. And I'm like, maybe we'll see. But right now, none of those have said absolutely they would be running. When Nate was approached apparently yesterday, well, not really sure, despite the fact everyone's sort of going, really? It kind of seems like you're interested. Ted, although Ted is one of our biggest champions of our riding. He's done a lot. He's always willing and able to come whenever, and he's helped me personally a lot. We have not had that conversation. Personally, I really hope that he takes on the role of interim leader. John Fraser has stepped up so many times. I think he needs a break, and Ted would be a phenomenal choice for that. But in terms of others, there, you know, some of the new MPPs, Rob Sirjanic out of Ajax has been a phenomenal MPP, particularly for East. Like, he's part of Central East. He is the only one really that has been talking about a transit and something as simple as bringing back the express trains. And although that is an Ajax item, That spills over to us most definitely in terms of people's ability to get places more quickly. The fact that he's like, where's Bowmanville? Where's the Bowmanville station that was approved in 2016? That was a Del Duca approval under a Liberal government, and here we are still waiting for that. It's it seems like the North and the West have been looked after from a transit perspective, as we sit back as, you know, kind of the second class citizens with respect to that. But yeah, so Rob is one who's been mentioned. Marco Mendocino's name has been thrown out there. Jeff Lehman, Mayor Barry. So there's, Karina Gould, someone's mentioned their name. Heck, even Krista Freeland's announcement yesterday about stepping down, people are asking, maybe. Nothing has been, no one has actually put their name out for sure, but those are some of the names that have been bandied about.
As someone who has run for the Liberal Party locally, you must stand up and defend your party. But when you go to bed at night and you lay your head on your pillow alone, what are your greatest fears for the future of the party?
So my fear is we're sometimes a little bit too accountable and taking blame and shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit. I think we as a party need to be better at telling our story, and the narrative of who we are, what we've done, and what is not being done. And when you don't provide the narrative, someone else will provide that for you. And suddenly we hear things like, you know, Maseratis and houses in the Hamptons, which are some of the things that were put out about Bonnie Crombie. Someone who grew up in a rooming house in Parkdale with a single mom and her grandparents and took transit everywhere. Her grandfather was a janitor at the Globe and Mail. And it was interesting. I didn't hear about that until she won the leadership. And I thought, wow, that you didn't bring that out before is remarkable. But it's also curious when you have an origin story that is so down to earth. Why would you let that narrative go, saying that you're, you know, the person that summers in the Hamptons? And I mean, some of that is money. I mean, not having party status didn't really allow us to spend the millions of dollars that were put out on, hey, we're doing great as a province, things that went out. So again, hopefully, at least from a grassroots perspective, and I know, for example, from a riding level, I will be getting out there and having conversations over the next 3 years to let people know who we are and what we care about. And primarily it's public service versus personal gain. And we're not okay until we're all okay. And right now there's an awful lot of people that aren't okay. And we need to fix that.
What gives you hope for the future of the Liberal Party in Ontario?
So this weekend, despite the fact that the results weren't what we were expecting, the interactions I've had on that floor, and even over the last year, there's a lot of really caring, compassionate, pragmatic people, because they often say, well, what's the difference between, you know, you guys and the NDP? You know, why don't you combine? And although yes, we care deeply, we also I think are the pragmatic party. And we're used to governing. So that muscle memory coming back along with the depth. And again, I refer to our 14 member caucus and what they bring to the table. Like, all of these individuals have come from successful careers in important industries. Stephanie Bowman, you know, CPA and banking, Ted Hsu with his PhD in physics and in finance. I mean, this is a person who can actually explain nuclear as well as sustainability and farming. You've got three people that are heavily involved in healthcare. Alice Shamji is an emergency room physician. Tyler Watt out of Nepean as an RN, and then Lee Faircloth, who is an executive in the hospital industry and also with mental health. She was here in Peterborough last week. When I look at how hard this caucus works and the impact that they have, I'd say that's a huge source of hope for me.
How about Northumberland, Peterborough South?
Again, from going around and talking to people. So after the election, I had the choice of going back into the classroom, and I said the classroom under our existing government is not a happy place, and that's all I'm going to say about that. However, I asked myself, well, what would I have done as an MPP? And I would have, or if I was campy, I would go out. I'd be talking to people, making connections, collaborating, finding solutions. And so I thought, well, why don't I just do that as an individual? And that's kind of where my radio show came from. But also, if there was a meeting, I was there. If it was United Way, Community Matters, Rebound, if it had to do with community or youth or entrepreneurship, I'm like, bring it. I'm there. And the individuals that I have met within Northumberland are unbelievable in terms of the things that they are doing that are positive and bringing joy, bringing prosperity, bringing all those things that are the essence of life. And I look at a Carrie Vigiani, who artist in Grafton, who came here because of a traumatic brain injury and is now bringing out the most joyful art. Talking to Rebound and the Night Stop and the Why Who, the stuff that's going on, like there's just so many tremendous things happening that make all of Northumberland better. I'm having such an amazing time connecting with those people. And how do we get you engaged and involved? Some of them at the municipal level. That'll be coming up in a year or so. So I'm really hopeful that we will have a lot of people that are really looking at trying to make life better for everyone. And that's my hope in terms of getting us mobilized in that regard.
Dorothy Noronha, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
I thank you so much for having me.
That was Dorothy Noronha, the former Liberal candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.